Romans chapter 5. We're right in the middle of chapter 5, and I want to just let you know, if you missed last week because of the weather or illness or whatever, we do have all of our morning sermons are on the website, on our church website, which is IndianRiverBaptistChurch.org, O-R-G. And so, in fact, we have an updated website that Sean Powers helped us with, and so you can go on there and see. Oh, by the way, if you go on our website and you see something that's out of date or misspelled or some error, let me know so we can adjust that. That would be helpful. A lot of times in our day and age, people who are new to the community, or particularly in the summer, people who are here, they'll go to a church's website before they will come to visit. It's the way it is now. So we want to make sure that we're accurate in what we're putting there on the internet. But it has been a good thing for us. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For indeed, sin was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. Now, stay with me here. Paul has he's getting into some deep theology, but hopefully we can unpack it and see what it means to us, because it affects our daily life, and it affects our eternal future, what he has to say. So stay with me. Verse 15. But the free gift, he's been talking about sin and death, transgression, but he says the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by that, the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if because of one man's trespass death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The title of this message is Reigning Grace. Reigning Grace. And what Paul is doing is he is showing there were two men. There were two men, and they represented a group of people or a race of people. The first one was Adam, and the second one was Christ. In Adam, he disobeyed God, and so sin passed to all of his descendants, and death passed because all have sinned. But in Christ, he obeyed God perfectly. What Adam failed to do at first, Jesus perfectly fulfilled. And all who trust in him become his descendants, become his offspring or children. And in them is not sin and condemnation, but is life, righteousness. On one side you have law and judgment and death, and on the other side you have grace. Grace that reigns. Grace that conquers sin, conquers death. These are the two people, two contrasts that Paul is making in this text that we read. That's the overview of it. You have one man who failed and it results in judgment and condemnation. And then you have one man, the perfect man, who perfectly succeeded and results in righteousness and life. And you come into that by faith. Not by works, but by faith. So I want to pray with you, and then we'll look at make a few observations from here. But I hope what you go away with is seeing how God's grace reigns over your life. Father, thank you for bringing us together. Father, thank you that we can worship you, that we can come and fellowship. We can show love and grace to one another. And then, Lord, that we can sit down, we can open your word, and Lord, we can see these deep and wonderful truths that you have brought about because of the death of your Son in our place. This passage is all about the gospel. It's all about how Jesus would be the perfect one who would offer himself, who would give us righteousness freely. We are sinners. We deserve the judgment of death, and yet by your grace we are made righteous, justified, declared not guilty. And so, Lord, we praise you for your grace, and may we live in your grace. May we not live in the guilt of sin and our failures, but in your great grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Number one, as we talk about reigning grace, number one, the source of sin and death. We look around in our world, and we see sin everywhere we look, and we see death, and we say, how did this come to be? And the Bible tells us very plainly in verse 12 that sin came into the world by one man. The question is, if God created everything, did he create sin? And the answer is no. Sin came from one man. That's how sin is here, because Adam had a choice to make, and he chose to do what he wanted, not what God had commanded. And so sin came into the world. And death came through sin. There was no death before there was sin. Death is the result of sin. Romans says it this way: the wages of sin is death. That's what sin earns. And here, sin and death are pictured as rulers. Like they have a rule, an authority. They reign like kings over all people. Sin and death. And so when we look around and we say, why are things so bad? It's because of sin. It's in the world. And it brings negative, terrible consequences. And death spreads to all men, verse 12, because all men have sinned. All people, all humans have sinned, have stepped over God's laws, stepped over the boundaries that God has put in. And so we have a sin problem. All of us. And it's going to result in death. It is, I heard one pastor say, no one gets out alive. It's just, we all will face death unless the Lord were to come back for us before our last breath. But look at verse 13. Sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted, or at least it's not totaled up where there is no law. Because someone might say, well, if we just had the law of Moses, we would be all right. We could get rid of sin if we had more laws. If we had more laws, we could get rid of sin. We try to do it in our country. We just keep raising the speed limit, right? You know, if we just raise the speed limit, then people wouldn't speed. Do you remember being 16? I do. I remember I lived up in outside of Mackinac, and Michelle lived out in the boonies. She lived out, if you go If you go to Wolverine and you go out Mitchell Road, or is it, you know what I mean, Wolverine Road, and you go out and then you find Weber Lake Road, okay, you with me? And then you turn left and you go about 5 miles on gravel, muddy, dirt roads, you find Michelle's house, maybe. And that's where she lived. Well, I had a curfew. I lived up in Mackinac, but I had to be home by 11 or 12, whatever it was. And I remember one night, I was not going to make it. And so this officer of the law stopped me. And it was so late, it was dark, it was about midnight, and I'm just cooking up I-75, and he pulls me over, and I didn't have a beard then. And when I was 16, I looked like I was, you know, 12. And so he pulls me over, and he walks up and he goes, "You're going too fast," or something. And I looked at him and I said, and Gordon, you've probably heard this before, I said, "Are you sure that was me?" And I'll never forget, because he leaned right in the car and he said, "Pretty sure." So what's the answer? You know, if they just raised the speed limit, I wouldn't have been speeding. Right? But you keep, it's our human nature. Tell me what my boundary is, and I'm going to break it. I'll pass through it. Paul says here, where sin was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. At least it's not tallied up. We can't come to you with a list and say, okay, you broke this law and this law and this law and this law. But we've all done enough sin to be guilty. You may not be guilty of breaking certain laws, but you're still a sinner. And this is what Paul is going to get to. You may not be as guilty as someone who does, they know what God says, and they sin anyway. You may not be as guilty as that person, but in Adam, in the first man, we're all guilty. Because Adam sinned, all of his descendants are, get this, are sinners. It's just, it's in our DNA. And listen, we're not only sinners by nature, we're sinners in practice. Am I right? I mean, we can't just say, well, if it wasn't for Adam, I wouldn't have this problem. Well, you've sinned enough on your own. We can't blame Adam for it. We are not only sinners by nature, but also by action. Verse 14, yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, reigned like a king. Death, that's the bad news. Sin, we say, well, I kind of feel bad about that. But death comes and reigns like a king from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam. Maybe you didn't sin just like Adam did, but you've sinned enough, and death, like a king, reigns over you. Because you're a sinner. This is not a good illustration, but I think about the pop can crusher at the grocery store. This is not a good illustration. Okay. But do you ever go to the grocery store and you put your can of pop in there and it spins around and the thing is trying to read it and it says, and it rejects it. It says, store does not, it doesn't accept this brand. And you go, well, where did I get this from? You know, some gas station somewhere, I guess. But there's that barcode reader. And if it reads the barcode and it came from Walmart, then it crushes it. Okay, death is sort of like that. It's going to scan you. And if it finds that you're a human being with sin, okay, I don't know how else to put it. Death reigns, even if you say, but I haven't done as bad. Death reigns over all people because all have sinned. So we say, well, what's the source of sin and death? It is not God. It is us. It is a person named Adam, the first man that God made. He chose to sin, and so all of his descendants are affected by that. The source of sin and death. Secondly, the source of salvation. Here in verse 15, Paul just gets right to it. But, he says, in contrast to sin and death and transgression, death reigning over us, there is a gift. It's the free gift. Right away, we see that salvation is not earned, but it is a gift that is given, a free gift. What was that gift? We keep reading. The gift was not like the trespass. And so we're thinking of Adam. He's eating the fruit, disobeying God. The free gift is not like that. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. So Adam has life. He has a choice. He chooses the fruit and disobeys God, and death is the result. Jesus comes, and he chooses death for us. It's a free gift. He takes death on himself so that he can give life to all those who are his, can we say, descendants? All those who are connected to him. If many died through one man's trespass, Adam comes, he sins, death comes. Jesus comes with grace. He comes with goodness and kindness. We don't deserve it because we're all like Adam. We're born as sinners and we grow up perfecting sin. We get really good at some sins. And we don't deserve anything good and anything gracious, but that's what Jesus comes to give. He comes to give a gift, and he comes to give grace free. And it was in his death. The gift was in his death. It's like an apple seed. I thought I should have brought an apple seed up here. You probably couldn't even see it. I held it up here. An apple seed is so small, and it's hard, and if you ever bite into one, they're bitter. But you take that apple seed and you stick it in the ground, something happens to that seed. And I'm not a botanist or a person who studies plants and organic things. But as I understand it, that seed dies. It kind of begins to rot in there. And from that death comes life, comes a green sprout. Can you explain that? How you take this hard little seed and you stick it in the ground and it begins to rot, and in a number of years, there's a tree that has apples that are full of seeds that you can take one of those seeds and do it all over again. How is that? It's a miracle. It's amazing. That's our God. That's the mind of God. But in that is a picture of Jesus. In that is that seed has to die so that new life will come and will spring forward. Everyone is a sinner, and so everyone dies. Death reigns like a king over every sinner, but Jesus lived his entire life and never sinned, not even once. Can you imagine Jesus? He never had a bad thought. He never had a bad word about someone. He never took something that wasn't his. He just lived a perfect life, and still he died. Death passed upon him, even though he had never sinned. How can that be? Because he willingly took death for us. He came for us. He said, I don't deserve death, but I will take it. I will take it because it will be the way of taking away your eternal death, your eternal judgment. I will take that away from you when you trust in me. He died. In his death is the gift of righteousness and eternal life. Okay, remember, we're unrighteous. We're all sinners. And Jesus says, if you will believe in me, I will give you my righteousness. Like the old Welchman said, he swapped with me. He took my sin and gave me his righteousness. So I stand before God, and he sees me as right, right with him. Not guilty, but right with him. How can that be? Because of grace. When God looks at you as a sinner and says, forgiven, not guilty, come to heaven. That's grace. Not because of what you have worked or earned or done, but because you have received the gift. We just had Christmas time, and we gave a lot of gifts, received a lot of gifts. How do you get a gift? You receive it. And that's what he says here, this free gift that he gives. His death that he didn't deserve counts as yours, and his righteous life counts as yours. So we come to verse 16. The free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. You know what that is? What's condemnation? It's the punishment that happens after a sentence. So, you're on trial, and the judge decides, or the jury decides, that you are guilty, and there is a consequence for that. Condemnation is the punishment that happens after your sentencing. And he says here in verse 16, the judgment following the trespass, you sinned, you broke the law, that means there is going to be punishment, condemnation. But the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. We're talking courtroom terms. You're being declared righteous. Think about that. Here's Adam, no sin in the world, and God says, don't eat of this one tree, and he does. He does. The one thing he's not supposed to do, he does. And then trespass after trespass, sin after sin after sin, and Jesus comes. And Jesus dies for the sins of the world. He comes, he's the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sin of the world. And this brings a free gift to all who will receive it. The gift of righteousness, of being called right with God, which is all by faith. Verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. He declares us righteous because we trust in Jesus for his salvation. Verse 17. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. And here the free gift is revealed. What's a gift? Do you like getting gifts? Here's this gift offered to you, and you take the bow off, and you tear the paper, and you lift off the lid, and it says righteousness. It says if you have this, that God looks at you as being right with him. And you say, but I'm not right with him. I have done and said some things that I know God knows about, and he is not pleased with me. And yet, the Bible says, if you will take his gift of righteousness, he will count you as righteous. He'll give it to you, and you will be righteous. You'll be right with him. The Bible says the just, or the righteous, will live by faith. When you come to the Lord Jesus by faith, God gives you righteousness. He gives it to you. Our trouble is, do we believe this? Do we believe that as bad as we have been, that God could say, no, you're right with me. I don't hold anything against you anymore. How can you say that? How can God say that I'm not guilty? I know I'm guilty. He says, listen, your sin, your guilt has already been punished in my son. You believe that? You believe in him? Then you're forgiven. In fact, here's righteousness, and that's all you'll ever need. So there were these official representatives. I guess that's how we look at it. Let's think about representatives. Verse 18. Therefore, as one trespass. So he says, therefore, we're going to try to sum this up in a couple verses. Therefore, as one trespass, that's Genesis chapter 3, that's Eve comes to Adam and says, hey, this fruit is really good. It's going to be okay. And Adam says, looks good to me. And he eats the fruit. As there was one trespass led to condemnation for all men. So one act of righteousness, that the act of righteousness is Jesus going to the cross. It's Jesus obeying his Father, obeying the gospel that says that he would suffer for the sins of many. So one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men, all who believe. All in Adam are judged and die. All who are in Christ are justified and live. I'm going to say that again. All who are in Adam, in other words, just natural people who outside of God, outside of Christ, just going about their life, they all will be judged and will die, and die eternally. But all in Christ will be made righteous and live. Representatives. For, one more summary, verse 19, as by one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. There's two representatives. And the question is, who's your representative? Who's representing you? If it's Adam, if that's all that you have, then you'll fail. But if Christ is your representative, then you will have eternal life. So I was thinking about this week. What can we remind ourselves about as far as someone representing someone else? And I thought about athletes who represent their teams and their country in the games. So I have two examples of athletes representing their country. We send them to either the Olympics or the World Championships, and they represent United States. First, I think about the United States swim team who was disqualified when swimmer Kevin Cordes jumped into the water. It was a relay race, and Kevin Cordes jumped into the water a 100th of a second too early in his leg of the 4x100 relay at the World Swimming Championship. So there's four men. They each swim down and back. And you know how this goes. The next one is at the edge of the pool, and when the swimmer coming back comes and touches the wall, then he can go in the water. And this is all set with, you know, sensors and timers. He jumped off the edge into the water 100th of a second too soon, and the team was disqualified, or they would have won. So one man's. And you know what he said? The swimmer that was coming back, he said, don't blame him, it was my fault. I like that. The swimmer in the water said, I got tired and I slowed down and he thought I would be in by now and he jumped too soon. It was really my fault. Well, but that's not how the judges saw it. The judges says the guy that jumped off and jumped in the water too soon. It was too soon. But you could say a 100th of a second. We're not talking about a second. We're not talking about a 10th of a second. I don't even know how you measure a 100th of a second. But he got in the water too soon. And so he, for his team and his country, was disqualified. Unlike gymnast Kerry Strug, who in 1996, with a third-degree ankle sprain, landed a perfect landing off the vault on one foot. Do you remember that? 96? I was watching. I remember when that happened. This little gymnast with a third-degree ankle sprain lands perfectly, and she's on one foot, and her team wins the gold medal. They win the gold medal for the team all-around competition for the United States. So who's your representative in this scripture? Is it Adam? Because Adam, in this illustration, or in these verses, he disobeyed God. He did what God commanded not to do. You could say, man, it was just a bite of fruit. It's a hundredth of a second. The first man, created in God's image, formed personally by God, made at first without sin, he was made alive by God's own breath. Adam named the animals, walked with God, talked with God. He tended God's garden. He did all these good things, but he failed. He sinned intentionally and ate the fruit that God had forbidden. Before you come to Christ, that's what we're like. We choose to sin. Is Adam your representative? Or is Jesus your representative, who obeyed God by living perfectly and died for all of your failures? And what if you've had a lot of failures? You know, you say, man, the guy jumped in the pool too early. Adam took a bite of fruit. But let's be honest, I've done a lot worse things than that. What if I have sinned a lot and I know it? Well, then you need to know about the supremacy of grace. The source of sin, the source of salvation, and finally, the supremacy of grace in these last two verses, verse 20 and 21, the supremacy of grace. Now the law came in to increase the trespass. I mean, God says, listen, you don't even realize how holy I am and how far off the mark that you are. Let me show you how. And he gave all of these detailed restrictions. And the more that you know, the more guilty and unworthy you feel. And that's what the law does. The law comes in, the scriptures of the Old Testament come in, and they show us all the things that God expects. And we go, I failed at that one, I failed at that one, I blew that one yesterday, I've already done this wrong today. And we can feel so guilty over our past. The Bible opens our eyes to see we're not okay. We need forgiveness. And then look at verse 20. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. See, there are some people, they want to get the commandments of God and try to do them, and then maybe God will like me and accept me. If I just knew all that God wanted, I could try harder. Paul says, that's not why the law is given. God gave the commandments to show you that you are going to fail them. And what you need is grace. You need God to be kind to you even though you have not deserved it or earned it. Where sin increased. I read somewhere, you could say, where sin overflowed its banks. You think about that all the time in the spring. The snow melts and we get all that rain. The rivers rise up and they overflow their banks. Sin might be like that in your life. Overflowing in your life. And here, look what he says. That where sin overflowed, grace did much more overflow. It's like this fresh, clean water just comes rushing in. Washes away your sin. All by God's grace. Verse 21, so that as sin reigned in death, like we have these kings of sin over you, and you must obey them, and death comes and will take your life, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We have to come to the place where we say, I have sinned. I am a sinner. And not just a little bit, not just in little things. Sin has abounded in my life. It's overflowed the banks of my life. And God, I need your grace to wash it away. And that's what he does. That's what he says. Sin brings death, but grace will reign and it will bring righteousness, making you right with God. And if you're right with God, you're going to live forever with him. That's the end of verse 21. He's going to bring you righteousness, which leads to eternal life. And it is all through the one who ultimately reigns. Sin reigns like a king. Death reigns like a king. But look at this. It's righteousness, eternal life, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's not just a little added word. He is the Lord. He is the Master. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. I close just thinking about this illustration. Our backyard is a disaster. The backyard behind our house. Our backyard, if you've been to our house, it's part sandlot baseball diamond. Because the people that lived there before us, they had kids, and they made a baseball diamond. They made these. There's the big sandbar that's first base, and then there's a sand pit that's second base, third base. It's not a chem lawn, okay? It's not treated. There's dandelions, okay? I not only have sand, big piles of circles of sand, we have moles. You know what I mean? And when we first moved in, there was like one little mole tunnel. Now they're tunneling all the way up by the house. So I've got moles. I've got sticks and branches that have blown because of all the wind down onto the end of the backyard. Sand, sticks, pine needles, branches. We have a dog. And the dog wants to dig up the moles. And so I have these craters that the dog has dug. And I try to fill them in. But somehow when the dog digs up something, there's never as much dirt to put back in the hole as the dog dug. Do you know that? So that's my backyard. But you wouldn't know that because right now there's 2 feet of snow on there. And the snow is white. So pretty. Amen. What's the point? It's like the grace of God in your life. Our lives can be a disaster. It can be a mess. And yet, when the grace of God comes, all that is covered. It's covered by His grace. And that's something that we can praise God for today. Let's stand together. And let's pray. Father, we are all sinners. We know it. From Your word, we know it. But we also know it in our own lives. And we look around at our When we look at ourselves, we can see the disaster that sin has been, how it can overflow in our lives. But I praise You, Heavenly Father, that Your Son would come, that He would be the one representative who would perfectly succeed, who would do all the things that we should have done but didn't. And God, that You would be pleased in Your great love for us to put our sins on Your Son and judge Him that we might receive the free gift of righteousness, eternal life, all by Your grace, all by Your goodness that we do not deserve. And I pray if there's anyone listening that right now they would receive that free gift of righteousness, that they would receive it from You, that You would cover their sins and take them away and make them right with You because they believe in Your Son who died and rose again. Father, we as Christians, may we be honest with ourselves, with our past, with our failures, with our sin against You, but may we rejoice in the grace that You give to us, that You've covered over every sin because we're in Christ and we will live forever with You. And we thank You, and we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.